The following is a recording for Rafael Borja from iAdvise on Thursday, March 12, 2015, at 10 a.m. Central. Mansoor, fourth quarter 2014 conference call. Good morning, and welcome to Mansoor, fourth quarter 2014 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Rafael Borja of iAdvise Corporate Communications. You may begin.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. I'm very pleased to welcome you to Mansoor's fourth quarter and full year 2014 earnings call. This morning, Mansoor's senior management team will discuss the company's fourth quarter and full year 2014 consolidated results for the press release distributed on March 3rd. If you have not yet received a copy of the earnings release, please contact iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3693, and we will send you immediately a copy. I would like to remind you that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken at this time. If you are a member of the media, please contact the company directly. Please note that during this call, management comments may include forward-looking statements, which are subject to various conditions and may differ materially from actual results. We ask that you refer to this disclaimer as guidance on these matters. I will now introduce our speakers. Joining us from Lima, Peru, are Mr. Juan Luis Kruger, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Gianflavio Carosi, Chief Financial Officer. At this time, Mr. Juan Luis Kruger will initiate his presentation. Mr. Kruger, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone, and thank you again for joining us for the discussion of Mansoor's fourth quarter and full year 2014 results. Before I begin, I want to take this opportunity to comment that as of January 1st, we appointed a new Chief Financial Officer, Gianflavio Carosi, who is here with me today. For those of you familiar with our company, Gianflavio has been our Corporate Finance Manager since 2013, and has been involved in the financial planning of the company. Gianflavio is replacing Alvaro Ocio, who resigned to pursue other professional endeavors. Likewise, we have also appointed Vladimiro Berrocal as our corporate finance manager, replacing Gianflavio. Previously, Vladimiro was our budgeting and control cost manager since August 2014. Moving on to the results as on every quarter, I will present a summary of the results, and then I will move on to a more detailed discussion of each business operation. Then Gianflavio will pass on to review the financial performance for the quarter with additional details. At the end of this call, I will close with a slight overview or outlook for 2015. Following the presentation, of course, we will open the floor for any questions that you may have. ...2014 presented significant challenges to our industry and to our business. The combination of continued anemic global economic activity and an unanticipated economic slowdown in China created an adverse economic environment impacting metal prices, especially in the last quarter of the year. However, we are pleased with our full-year results as the strategies implemented during 2014 yielded tangible results, enabling Mansoor to increase throughput and recovery, achieve operational efficiencies, reducing our costs per ton treated at all of our operations, while keep investing in our future projects and long-term sustainability goals. Let us move then on to the individual results by each operation, focusing on our core business, the mining division. Starting with Brazil, Saboca once again experienced outstanding operational improvements compared with the same quarter of last year. We continued increasing production as a result of the optimization plan which was put in place throughout the year, achieving greater productivity and operational efficiency. This has yielded important recovery improvements and higher tonnage treated, resulting in a tin production of 1,400 tons during Q4 of last year, which represents an increase of 26% compared to the same quarter of 2013. While for 2014, tin production reached a record of 5,010 tons of tin, sorry, 19% above that reported in 2013. Nonetheless, niobium and tantalum production decreased 10% in 2014 compared to 2013, mainly due to a decision to stop two of the three niobium and tantalum producing plants in December 2014, in line with our operational optimization strategy focused on productivity improvements and production cost control. Moving into costs, our focus on cost control allowed us to reduce by 11% the cost per ton treated in 2014 at Pitinga. This reduction in cost allowed us to compensate lower by-product credits as a result of the 10% decrease in niobium and tantalum production and a 27% decrease in alloy prices for 2014 compared to 2013, thereby resulting in a by-product cash cost of $17,910 per ton for the year 2014 versus $18,311 per ton for the year 2013. In other words, the lower niobium and tantalum prices and lower production partially offset the impact of the lower cost per ton treated when calculated on a tin equivalent basis. However, if we would adjust the niobium and tantalum price for 2014 with the price of 2013, the byproduct cash cost would have been $14,730 per ton of tin, which would have implied a decrease of 20% when compared to 2013. Now, let's move on to the San Rafael mine and the Pisco smelter in Peru. Tin production during the fourth quarter of 2014 decreased 7%, mainly by the effect of lower ore grades as we mined a 2.4% tin head grade at the mine, in line with our current resource grade. Nevertheless, refined tin production in 2014 reached 24,223 tons, slightly higher than our production in 2013, mainly due to higher volumes processed at the Pisco smelter as a result of the optimization of our stocks of tin concentrates. In order to mitigate the decrease in grades, we focused on cost reduction and plant optimization measures, as a result of which we managed to reduce by 5% San Rafael's cost of production, getting the cost per ton treated in 2014 to $143 per ton, compared to $151 in 2013. This was in part achieved by a plant capacity increase from 2,500 tons per day to 2,900 tons per day. Nevertheless, cash cost per ton of tin produced in 2014 reached $8,459, a 9% increase compared to 2013, mainly due to the lower head grades and the impact of processing higher cost inventory, partially compensated by higher volume and lower unit production costs, as I mentioned before. During 2015, we will continue with our strategy of a strict focus on cost controls and productivity. Moving on to Pucamarca, our gold operation, production rose 13% in Q4 compared to Q4 2014 compared to the same quarter of the previous year. This was mainly explained by a higher head grade in line with the geological model of the mine, and importantly, due to an increase in ore treated as a result of an increase in processing capacity from 14,000 tons per day to 17,500 tons per day at the mine. However, and despite the increase in processing capacity during 2014, gold production reached 105,939 ounces of gold, which is a 9% decrease when compared to 2013, again as a result of the expected lower head grade, partially offset by the production increase. In order to mitigate a decreasing head grade, our focus on productivity and cost controls allowed us to achieve a production cost of $6.2 per ton treated, which represents a 17% improvement over 2013. driven in part by the plant capacity increase to 17,500 tons per day. As a result, cash costs reached $356 per ounce of gold produced in 2014, a 7% reduction over 2013. Cucamarca remains one of the mines with the lowest gold cash costs in the world. In summary, our focus on cost controls and productivity has allowed us to achieve a strong operational efficiencies during 2014, mitigating the expected decrease in head grade. Our focus will remain on cost control and productivity as we face even more challenging market conditions this year. With that, let me now turn the call over to Gianflavio, our CFO, who will review the financial performance for the period.
Thank you, Juan Luis, and good morning to everyone. I will review the financial results for the fourth quarter and calendar year 2014, and then we'll turn the call over to Juan Luis. On a consolidated basis, revenues decreased by 10% in the fourth quarter of 2014, reaching $293 million, while for calendar year 2014, revenues decreased by 4%, yielding about $1.3 billion. This was influenced by lower cement and concrete sales as a result of a slowdown of the Chilean economy. Speaking about the mining segment, net sales in the fourth quarter of 2014 reached $203 million. That is a decrease of 13% compared to the same period of 2013, as tin metal prices decreased by 12% when compared to the same period in 2013. Nonetheless, net sales for 2014 reached $914 million, an increase of 2% when compared to the previous year, mainly explained by higher production at Pisco and higher sales of tin metal as a result of a stock optimization plan involving both concentrate and finished products, and higher production and sales at Pirapora. These effects were partially offset by reduced head grades and mine production at San Rafael and Pucamarca, and lower gold price and tin price in 2014 when compared to 2013. Gross profit in the mining segment for the fourth quarter of 2014 reached $73 million, 31% below that of the fourth quarter of 2013, mainly as a result of lower sales due to lower prices. However, gross profit reached $397 million in calendar year 2014, only a 9% decrease when compared to 2013, as we managed to compensate lower head grades and prices with higher volume because of plant increases and stock reductions, and lower unitary production costs. Administrative expenses during the fourth quarter of 2014 increased 5% compared to the same period of 2013. Likewise, in calendar year 2014, administrative expenses reached $56 million, an increase of 7% when compared to calendar year 2013. Mainly driven by the consolidation of the management team in key areas such as project development, which didn't exist back in 2013. As we move forward with our Pitinga expansion, San Rafael tailings, and Macobe projects, we need to ensure we have an appropriately staffed project team. During the fourth quarter of 2014, exploration and project expenses decreased by 21% when compared to the fourth quarter of 2013, mainly because of a matter of timing. However, in calendar year 2014, exploration and project expenses reached $70 million, an increase of 5% compared to 2013. This increase is mainly explained by brownfield exploration efforts near our existing operations and investments in advancing our Marcobre and San Rafael tailings treatment projects. Bear in mind that our investments in growth projects are expensed until completion of a feasibility study. Today, Marcobre and San Rafael's tailings treatment project are at pre-feasibility stage, while the Pitinga expansion project is at feasibility stage. As a result, EBITDA for calendar year 2014 reached $328 million, that's 13% below that of 2013. It is worth mentioning that EBITDA for the fourth quarter 2014 and calendar year 2014 were affected by extraordinary charges as a result of the settlement of civil and labor actions at Taboca that predates MinSur's ownership of the company and other accounting adjustments. Excluding these charges and excluding exploration and project expenses, adjusted EBITDA would have reached $176.4 million for the fourth quarter of 2014 and $409 million for calendar year 2014, the latter representing a decrease of 8% compared to 2013. During 2014, we recorded also $28 million in higher financial expenses as a result of a $450 million international bond issuance early in 2014. We also recorded a $5 million higher exchange rate loss suffered primarily at Tabocca due to the depreciation of the real. This, together with a $15 million decrease in earnings from associates, mainly due to RE/MAX Insurance lower net income in 2014 when compared to 2013, resulted in a net income of $76 million, a decrease of 48% compared to 2013. In terms of liquidity, the mining segment ended the year 2014 with $529 million of debt and $598 million in cash. It is worth mentioning here that when you look at cash reported for 2014, $190 million of that cash is being reported as investments, given that they have been invested in a mix between term deposits, longer term deposits, and other sources, which forces us to account for it as investments and not cash. However, that together with cash in hand amounts to $598 million. In terms of CapEx, the mining division invested $84 million in 2014, 26% below that reported in 2013. CapEx was mainly allocated to the construction of the second stage of a leaching pad in Pucamarca and increase in tailing dams at San Rafael and Pitinga, in line with the company's sustainability plan. With that, I conclude my presentation. Thank you for your attention. I will now turn it over to Juan Luis.
Thank you, Gianfrancesco. I would like to finish the operation and the financial review with an operation and outlook for this 2015 year. Please note that we intend to provide you with an outlook for the current year, but we will not give any further forward-looking views during the following quarters. Let's start with the San Rafael and Pitco mine and smelter. Tin production is expected for this year to be within a range of 20,000 to 22,000 tons of refined tin. That is approximately 10% lower than 2014. This is mainly as a result of a slight decrease in head grade in line with our average resource or tin resource grade. San Rafael's cost per ton treated is expected to further decrease within a range of $130 to $140 per ton of ore treated. And finally, CapEx is expected to be within the $15 to $20 million range in line with the 2014 CapEx. Moving on to Pucamarca, we expect gold production to be between 95,000 to 105,000 ounces of gold in line with the production reported in 2014. Furthermore, Pucamarca's cost per ton treated is expected to further decrease within a range of $5 to $5.5 per ton of ore treated, while CapEx is expected to also decrease within a range of $8 to $12 million for the year. That's 20% below that of 2014. Last but not least, Tabocca in Brazil, we expect tin production to reach between 5,000 to 6,000 tons in 2015. This represents a further increase of 10% compared to 2014. In terms of cost, we expect Pitinga's cost per ton treated to be within a range of $18 to $20 per ton. And finally, in terms of CapEx, we expect it to be within the $30 to $35 million range, in line with the CapEx of 2014. During 2015, we also expect to conclude Pitinga's pre-expansion pre-feasibility study and be in a position to make a potential investment decision during the year. In all, 2015 will be a very promising year for the consolidation of our growth plan. However, it will also be a very challenging year as market conditions have deteriorated, leading us to a challenging start. As such, we will continue to maintain a high focus on stringent control over costs and capex and relentless search for higher productivity, as well as continue advancing our growth projects and our brownfield exploration program. We remain focused and committed to investing for the future of the company. Thank you for your attention, and now I would like to move the floor to the operator to start the Q&A session. Operator, please proceed to the Q&A session.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phones now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star two. And again, to ask a question, please press star one. And we will pause momentarily to compile a list of questioners. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your phones now. We now have our first question coming from Hector Collantes from Credicorp Capital.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I wanted to ask you a little bit more of information on the intended separation of the financial statements of the mining business and the cement business. I remember there was a plan you had, and there was an announcement of doing it in 2015. I just wanted to have more color on what's happening with it.
Thank you, Hector, for that question. That is correct. As of this year, we're going to be reporting the cement business based on our participation on their equity. So as such, it will be only be shown as investments in associates. What that means is that when you review our financial statements for 2015, what you will see is basically the mining business, and in one line, our participation in the equity of the cement business.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I also want to have more information on, there is something perhaps I didn't understand very well about the foreign exchange losses, considering that the Brazilian real depreciation has been on, but I consider that you may be selling it all on U.S. dollars, which has been strengthening. It depends on your cost structure, but I might imagine that it might not have been that big of a problem. So I was a little bit surprised on the foreign exchange losses. Perhaps there is something I'm not taking correctly, so I wanted to pass the question to you guys.
Thank you, Hector, for that. Let me explain to you our position in Brazil. Brazil is one of our operation units and one of our companies, which is real based in terms of from an accounting perspective. Now, what that means is that any monetary account which is in other than Brazilian reais will show as a or will move. We'll record an exchange rate fluctuation whenever there is a fluctuation in exchange rate. So in the particular case of Taboca, we do have a debt balance, a U.S. dollar-based debt balance, which as the real depreciates, obviously increases in cost. And that is what is flowing through the P&L as an exchange rate exposure. However, it is also worth mentioning that as the real also depreciates, our cost structure expressed in dollars also benefits from that depreciation. However, that benefit is not clearly shown because it is part of our production cost expressed in dollars.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. My last question deals with the other plans for, let's say, the Mina Justa and also the tailings reprocessing project, the D2 project, because I remember you were saying those are in pre-feasibility stage right now, and I wonder whether in 2015 you expect them to upgrade into feasibility stage, or perhaps pre-feasibility will continue during this year.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the question. B2 is, we have some important milestones this year. By the end of the year, we should finish the pre-feasibility study of Mina Justa. So Mina Justa will remain. We're actually going to start the last phase of, we have a gate-staged approach to develop our projects, and we're going to basically start the final stage and pass to the final gate of the pre-feasibility study at Mina Justa in the second quarter of this year, and we will finish, we expect to finish the pre-feasibility study by the end of the year. That's Mina Justa. In terms of B2, we should be moving on as well into a feasibility study by the last quarter of this year. In other words, we should finish the pre-feasibility study in the third quarter and move on to the last quarter of the year into the feasibility study at B2.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the questions. You've been very helpful. Bye.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your phones now. Again, that is star one to ask a question. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one. We now have a question from Sumo Mukerehi from Itaú. Sumo, your line is open.
Hi, sorry, I had it on mute. Thanks for the call. My question is related to the financing for the future CapEx projects such as Mina Justa. My understanding is that it wouldn't necessarily be with the cash or with the proceeds that you used from the last bond issuance, but if you could shed some color in terms of that, that would be very helpful.
Okay, Sumo, thanks. With the cash that we raised from the bond issuance and the expected cash generation that we're going to have from here on to in the next few years, that will allow us to basically fund our exploration program, all of our operations, our B2 treatment project, our Pitinga expansion project, and potentially a portion of the Mina Justa project as well. Now, remember that the Mina Justa project right now is undergoing pre-feasibility studies, and depending on the configuration that results from those studies, we will know what is going to be the initial capex that will be required. And depending on that, there might be a requirement for additional financing.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Cesar Perez Novoa from BTG Pactual.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Coming back to the Mina Justa configuration, which you just mentioned, are you providing any type of volume guidance on the potential production that the mine could have? And in addition to that, based on my prior understanding was that this operation was going to be some sort of underground. Initially, it was conveyed to be an open pit, but that would have been capital intensity. If you could actually comment on that. And my follow-up would be to your San Rafael. You were providing some guidance, and I missed a few numbers there. If you could kindly repeat those, that would be really helpful. Thank you.
Sure. First of all, in Mina Justa, we're not in a position to provide you with any input as of volume projections at this point in time. We're just finishing the second gate on the pre-feasibility stage, and what we do know now is that it is not really going to be an underground mine for the starter mine. it looks like it's going to be an open pit mine with a configuration very similar to what we had in the in what I think it's in the public domain, the 2009 DFS study. So it's very likely that it will be an open pit mine, combining not only one pit but a few pits in order to maximize the ore fit to the plant of oxides initially. And as we mine out the oxides and we get into the sulfides and we deepen the pit, we will evaluate the possibility of further developing an underground mine as from the bottom of the pit to further access potential additional resources of sulfides that we have that cannot be mined open pitable. That's, I think, in terms of your question, is expected to be within a range of 20 to 22,000 tons of tin for this year. Our cost per ton treated should be in the range of $130 to $140 per ton of ore treated, and CapEx should be around $15 to $20 million for the year. Those are the numbers I gave out. I don't know if that takes care of the question.
That's good. And on a consolidated basis, what would be the overall CapEx? Is there any additional money that will be deployed for other purposes? Is there an aggregate figure for 2015?
Yeah. Let me just give you some numbers here. We expect to spend around between $50 and $55 million of operating capex for the year on an aggregate basis. That's just sustaining capex for the year between the San Rafael, Pisco, Taboca, and Pucamarca operations. Obviously, that doesn't account for our heavy investment in explorations for the year, which should be around $23 million. And also, you know, we already even reported this to the market. We're going to be investing, or we expect to invest, around $50 to $55 million in Mina Justa this year, and obviously depending on the results of the studies for B2 and the Pitinga expansion, we could be investing significant more money or an equivalent amount of money in these two projects.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Irving Leon from Credicorp Capital.
Good morning. Thank you for the call. Can you give your outlook for thing in 2015, considering the recent drop in prices?
Thank you, Irving. That's a very tough question. I would probably better guide you towards reading ITRI's research or CRU's research on tin. We do feel very, very confident and bullish on a long-term basis on tin. However, what we are seeing today is obviously a significant slowdown over the last few months, as we have seen tin production flowing in from China in the form of refined tin, but basically being fed by Myanmar. However, if you look at the industry from a structural perspective, we continue to remain bullish in terms of tin for the long run.
We don't make calls into the price, and we don't make or give any forward-looking views on the prices because we simply cannot control them. However, ITRI remains expected that in the second half of the year, the price should pick up again to an average for the year of $22,000. That's where their latest number is. We believe it's probably going to be on the range of $20,000 to $22,000. We really don't bet on price. We just really focus on what we can control, which is our cost.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 key on your phones now. Again, star 1 to ask a question. And at this time, we have no further questions waiting to be answered in the queue. I'd now like to turn the call back over to Mr. Kruger for closing remarks.
Okay, thank you very much. I want to thank all of you for your continued interest and trust in our company and for your participation in today's conference call. Please don't hesitate to contact me, Gianflavio Carossi, or Vladimiro Berrocal if you have any additional questions. We look forward to speaking with you again soon. Thank you very much.